Blog Talk Radio.
First way, in order to get right with God, you have to admit and
recognize your spiritual revelation. So we have to ask the question, what is it that separates a believer from God? What is it that spoils that fellowship? Or let me say, when wars and fights come from among you, do they not come from the desire to the pleasure that war and justice, your lust and your dumb ass, you murder and suffer that you can't obtain, you fight and war, and yet you don't have because you don't ask. You ask and you don't receive because you ask for this, and you're asking so that you can spend what you're asking for on your pleasure. So what James is doing is asking some very important questions. He's asking, how is it that war is entrenched in the numbers? How is it that Christians take pleasure in fighting one another? They make plans and prepare weapons, and they even offer prayers in order to attack their wives and the family of God. And it's no wonder that these prayers are not answered. Because this spirit only survives, and we as Christians, we are, it's our duty, it's our obligation to be all. It's terrible when you live in a life that isolates God. Then you got that sin of having ungodly friends. James no longer says adulterers and adulteresses. Don't you know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? And whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. In this way, is addressed to the Christian that's guilty of being unfaithful to Christ Jesus. Any believer who accepts the spirit and standard of this word instead of the spirit and standard of God's holy word is an adulterer and adulterer. For I said, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And you've got full claim to be but I have no problem supporting that gentleman in the White House who says his name is what? God. And you can't have it. You can't run with the devil on the weekend on Sunday. I'm a child of God. How you want who will you support? We must thank God that He's given us a role to travel at. We got to learn how to be faithful walking that walk. Oh, my goodness. That sin of unborn pride also causes us to have our relationships strained with God. James tells us that God possesses pride, but it is great to the humble. Nothing is more hateful to God than is in pride. An unspoken belief. Every now and then, we need to take time out and really understand what happens when God resists somebody. If you read through scripture, you see what happens in history when Almighty God has taking action to humble an individual, a family, a community, a nation, or even know this type of preaching doesn't make you feel good, but it's necessary. Because it shows and it tells us how our living God sets himself against the man or woman who chooses to be proud instead of being humble. When you choose to be puffed up with pride, it may think that God has removed your person. It may be that you're going to have to suffer from hardship or it may even cost you your life itself. God resists pride. And we must love him. Even deal with this passion is bad. On the flip side, it lets us realize and understand who is in control of his word. Many of us, before 5 years, we thought that we were going to rely on our own strength and our own power. And this pandemic shows just how we frail and vulnerable we are. There's no time to be lifted up in pride. No. See, when you're full of pride, you gotta flip that coin, and on the other side of that coin is you lift it. For pride leads to every kind of pride, because it's the opposite of God's way of life. So, when you learn how to humble yourself, you're giving God something to work with on you. Control your passions, man. When you get your principles right, when you get that pride going again, you can start getting it right with God. And once you recognize that my relationship with God is what it is, should be that I get it right with them, then I have to assume some spiritual obligation. See, this relationship we have with God, not that God is supposed to do everything. There's something we need to do. And the most important thing that we need to do, we need to learn and start practicing resistance stuff. James says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, don't ignore me, but there's only one reason why you're away from God, and that's because you've allowed the devil to seduce and entice you. Amen, somebody. That's what's wrong with relationship. You walk away from God and you start listening to a strange voice. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. You allow the devil to take you by the arm and convince you that more profitable and successful to walk with yourself than to walk with God. You remember the fact that you were happy walking in the highway. But because you stopped liking the distance and the standard of holiness, you join the devil on the road. Someone asked, can a Christian walk with the devil? And the answer is yes. Peter did. Ananias and Sapphira, they did. There's a lot of Christians who did it in our room. You see, the devil has an angel of light and walks beside you and some things that you do that get right with God, that's the first thing to do. And this involves submitting to God and resisting the devil. That word submission is a military term, and it implies the recognition before God of the weapons of our warfare that are not part of the mighty God for the pulling down of the stronghold. But to me, it's that about claiming the power of the flesh. And then claiming the power of the word of Jesus. Claiming the power of the spirit of Jesus. And then claiming the power of the name of Jesus. Those are our weapons. And we got to learn how to start claiming that love. Claiming that word. Claiming that spirit. And claiming the name of Jesus, because it's with these ones that we're able to resist the devil. And when you resist them, you'll be fine. But you can't do it by the way. We got to claim that love, claim that word, when we have that word, being that the peace in it, claiming that the spirit, by allowing that spirit to guide and direct you again, claim the name. When you use those weapons, the devil has to be overthrown. If we're going to go even fulfilling our spiritual obligation, we have to use those weapons to return to that holy walk. Then when we get the weapons, before we can put them to use, let us draw from the God.
Yes.
And when you draw from the God, he'll draw from you. James is telling us we got to repent.
Amen.
Yes, you got to turn that life around, and you got to do it last. First and foremost, become empty before God. They said, set us free again. Purify in our heart. Double-minded. You individuals who are trying to walk with God and walk with the devil, say that God can't be double-minded. Because the foul and deception must be confessed at the front. The most obvious is the sin. Have to be refuted. For an adoption of that, the fire has overly confessed the foul of that heart and the deceitfulness of that heart. They wouldn't have been fit for that. You see, when you truly repent, this involves becoming empty before God and our prayer is nothing. Lord, in my hands, I bring simply to the cross I committed. You can't bring to the cross with those ungodly desires that you have in your hands. Can I hear a word? Amen. Then, in order to get right with God, you got to become guilty. James says, matter more than we. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Those things that you used to laugh about when you were trapped in that little world, but now have to be turned to mourning. And definitely, in order to believe in true repentance before God, you know what I'm talking about. When you get together with your old friends and you start reminiscing about what you used to do, that shouldn't foster any sense of pride or satisfaction. No. This should be some sorrow. Amen. This should be some remorse, that then when you're engaged in remorse and sorrow, then he turns up his glasses because he realizes and understands that God is faithful to what you do.
Amen.
Amen. That word is more means to grind the power. It reminds us of back in Old Testament times when the peace offering consisted of corn that was ground to be. In other words, the peace offering was the meal offering. And that's how we have to engage in order to get this walk with God, right? There has to be some grinding up of the old things we used to find joyful in. Can I get a witness? Listen to David when he said the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Those things God will not despise. And when you submit yourself broken before God, how many of you realize that you can't go back and put you back together again the right way but God? And when God puts you back together again, I'm going to put this, you'll be better than your word before. Can I get away from you? Then, my brothers and sisters, we've got to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And when you humble yourself in God's sight, God will lift you up. God gives us a chance to humble us. But if we fail to humble us, God has to take over the process. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God when you're full of pride. You see, to humble ourselves is to pray that prayer of one. God be merciful unto me, a sinner. For humility is both a disposition and a discipline. That disposition is the mind of Christ, and that discipline is the spirit of selflessness. And then you gotta request forgiveness before God. If you request, don't listen, forgiveness before God by not speaking evil about one another. This verse lets us realize and understand that the individual who takes up the right to judge their brother or sister is trying to take the place of God, trying to take the throne of God, trying to override the law of God. And no one has the right to judge their brother or sister while they still have unforgiveness in them. We need to recover the word of Jesus when he said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And if you have engaged in any forgiveness, you can't receive any forgiveness. Can I go with you? So once you resist yourself, and then you repent, it's your duty then to accept your spiritual restoration.
Amen.
I'm getting ready to close. But I'm going to be our spiritual restoration is a spirit to us by the Spirit. James said, do you think that the scripture speaks things like God himself? The word, the scripture, can't lie. The word that serves as exposes our sin is the same word that promises forgiveness and cleansing. What the word searches that points out our wrongdoing, that same word will offer us forgiveness and cleanse us from our wrongdoing. So we can lay hold on a promise that John gives us in 1 John 1 9, when he says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because our salvation is obtained for us by the faith. The Savior, James tells us, gives us more grace. See, in the first instance, he gave us salvation, and now he grants us the grace of restoration, bringing us back to where we came from. And this is the interpretation of the word within, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. There's no ice that is so blurred and faced by sin that ever we are. I'm talking about Christ Jesus. He can restore it to its original use. See, our problem is we know the death. And what we do, we bypass Jesus and hope to be smart or disobedient. And start painting our face. Put on makeup, trying to conceal the wrongdoing. But the more you engage in wrongdoing, I don't care what kind of makeup you have, it's going to hold us. So, what we need to do is stop going to the doctor for buying that makeup or that area. What's that stuff they have on TV? Now, I'm worried about that. Go to the heavenly God. Some of my friends. He's not worried about the rich. Amen. He's not worried about the rich. Amen. He goes deeper than that. Our problem is we don't go deeper than that. We don't allow Jesus to do his perfect work. He's not the limit of the work that he needs to do, but we need to humble ourselves and let Jesus make us up as he sees fit. We sit in the chair asking Jesus for the leader. No, Jesus, no, I'm not enough. I got to go deeper. I got to ask what you think Jesus does. I got to get down to that section in your heart that governs your activities. I got to go deeper than the surface. I got to get to your heart. I've got something for your heart. It is called the blood. I've got something for your heart that will change and give you decisions. It's called my word. My word will bring change into your life. My word will make you over. I'll restore you unto your original beauty. And it's not the beauty that you can see in your physical mirror. It's the beauty that God sees in you. Instead of worrying about what you look like, you need to start worrying about how you look before God. Am I worthy to walk on a higher level if I know what it is to go in the world? Amen. Somebody, when you go, that low rock is crying. Too many cries. Too many detours. I go to the rock that everybody chooses that easy rock. It takes me longer to get to my destination. God handles it. Those of us who stay in Michigan, we know what it is to deal with construction on our roadway. We got some places to go and can't get to where we need to be because the roads are under construction. They're under construction because there's quite a few travelers who have traveled on this road and they have wore the road out. They, in other words, that traveling below. There's a lot of traffic on the logo. But as I told you before that I submit to you, you need to change your mode of transportation. Instead of traveling that logo, I offer you an invitation to try the high road. See what it is. Try that high road. It's going to take some distance. You may have to travel that road early in the morning, but just be disciplined and obey. And the Lord will work out. And one of the joys of being able to travel that high road is that there aren't that many travelers on my high road. You on that low road, you're often stuck in traffic, can't move and get to where you need to be. But on that high road, the traffic is off you and far between. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes individuals who are traveling on that low road, they make fun. Say, yeah, there you are. Not that many people up there. I don't want to be there. I want to be where everybody is at. Not me. I want to be where Jesus is. And Jesus traveled that highway. You may not get everything you want, but as long as you live with Jesus, everything will be all right. Because what Jesus does, he secures us by his Spirit. His Spirit dwells within us. That spirit that lives within us yearns with a holy jealousy to bring us back to God. But that spirit is turned in the soul. It's not going to rest or allow you to rest until you get back with God. Just like Paul longs with a godly jealousy to present the church at the rest and his holy bride to Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Desire is nothing less that we should be sustained, unstained by sin as we walk that high road of holiness with Christ Jesus. What I love about this is that when I come to hear the pick me up with a man, man, make me into what he would have me to be. Can I go ahead? We know how it is to be a son. Because we got the bruises, the scars, and the energy into this stuff going that low down. But can nobody do it like Jesus? When Jesus picked us up, we're going to send our hands and said, I've got it. Just hold on and I'll make everything all right. Have you ever been lifted up by Jesus? Have you ever been down so low where friends were together, family turned their back on you? But then one day, Jesus got you. When you were at your lowest and he lifted you up with his powerful hand. Now, you know what it is for Jesus? They all got you. To be carried by Jesus, to be corrected by Jesus, to be healed by Jesus, to be fed by Jesus, to be made over by Jesus. That's what we have to do. We have to desire to be able to walk with Jesus. And in order to walk with Jesus, we gotta get right with God. We gotta get our passion. Amen. We gotta make sure that we're standing on the standards that God pride, not this world, but
amen.
And allow these master hearts to remix and to give.
Amen.
Amen. And change us on the inside. It can't nobody change you on the inside but you.
Amen.
And then when you start changing, amen. That's when we need to start walking with Jesus. Amen. When you just like to come, you're able to walk with God.
Amen.
When life becomes much more powerful,
yes.
When we learn to share the fact that we are walking with God. I'm not lying.
Okay.
I'm not lying.
Yes.
And he's coming to you, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You don't have to go to the Lord.
Amen.
You don't have to hide yourself in the
cross. Amen.
Go that highway. I don't know about you, but I did it every night. I had a woman in me. I always ended by myself. I was always on the hospital.
Yes,
sir. Amen. You want me to introduce me.
Amen.
Amen. You can introduce me to get you that feeling I have.
Amen.
Amen. I'm a child of God.
Yes, sir.
I am a woman of God. Amen.
Amen.
Give me the right with God. Amen.
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 I record on her phone.
So they're all
that. We need that. I saw that.
So my sermon's